Both U.S. and Canadian security forces have yet to identify a single credible threat to the Olympic Games in Vancouver, Canada. As part of the Joint Border Action Plan between Canada and the United States, the Department of Homeland Security sent 200 additional federal agents to the Canadian border. In addition, the FBI and U.S. military are operating in Vancouver and BC during the Games. In Bellingham, Washington, Homeland Security built a $4 million fusion center where 40 different governmental agencies are sharing information in an initiative the ACLU has compared with COINTELPRO. In one instance, at the 2008 Republican National Convention in Minnesota, a fusion center data mined protesters and orchestrated the police infiltration of their organizations. Currently, there are over 40 fusion centers strategically located throughout the U.S. While fusion centers are tucked out of sight, at the border, the intelligence gathering and coordination is quite apparent. The Washington city of Blaine is the last town in the U.S. on the I-5 interstate. Resident Christie worries that these new protocols are here to stay.
You know, it's like they introduce it slowly. So, you know, okay, we're going to check your bags, and then we're going to, you know, put you through a screener, and then all of a sudden you need to take off your shoes and belts and all that, and everybody was okay with that. And now they've brought in scanners where they can just see you, your naked self. And, you know, everybody's just going, oh, well, it's all in the name of security. Well, then what's next? Like, it doesn't stop there. It's just going to be a little more invasion, a little more invasion, till you might as well just walk around naked with a number on your head that they could scan and, oh, yeah, you're safe to be here.
While it's uncertain what will happen with the Bellingham Fusion Center after the Olympics are over, what is certain is that the information gathered on border crossers during the Games will remain in government databases. Iris, who didn't want to give her last name, recently returned to Portland after visiting Vancouver during the opening days of the Olympics. She thinks that travelers are vulnerable to data mining at the border.
You know, why get information from border crossers? I think it's a time when people have their guard down. It's a time when people are in a moment of trying to get to someplace or trying to get home. You're in this limbo of, well, I didn't do anything. I don't have anything to hide. I'm supposed to be answering these border questions. So why don't I just go ahead and answer these border questions? And then while you're there answering these border questions, they do their best to slide a few more ones in there. And it's shocking. It's precisely they're doing what they can to increase their knowledge base.
During 3 hours of questioning by border authorities, Portland resident Will Munger feels he was deceived about his legal rights.
They were very explicit. You don't have a lawyer. This is the border. You don't have the same rights here. And that legal gray zone, which the ACLU has called the constitutional free zone of the border, is a new tool that state repression has to be able to deactivate social movements. The border was being used as a tool of political surveillance. There's kind of this net that they were able to cast during the Olympics. And when you pass through the border, it was basically like walking into an FBI or a Joint Integrated Security Unit office and saying, hello, here I am. What questions have you to ask me? Because basically, we don't have any rights anymore. Everything that you want to know, we are legally obliged to tell you, and lying to you is a crime.
I asked Bellingham, Washington lawyer Larry Hildes what people's rights at the border actually are.
They will tell you that you don't have a right to a lawyer at the border. And you don't have a right to a lawyer to prevent searches. You don't have a right to a lawyer on routine questions necessarily. As soon as it gets beyond that, you have a right to have a lawyer present. And you need to ask for a lawyer, and you need to refuse to talk to them without a lawyer.
Hilda says the FBI has no business being involved in border searches. He is considering representing several people the FBI detained and questioned during the Olympics. One of them is Nick Ross Rudy, a student of anthropology at Reed College in Portland. Nick was going to attend the Olympics Resistance Summit in Vancouver on February 10th, not to protest, but to hear firsthand how the Olympics are affecting Indigenous communities. Though he had heard that people were having trouble crossing the border, he was surprised to be denied entry to Canada. He had no history of arrest, but was denied on the ground that he lacked proof of a residence, job, and bank account in the United States. However, this was only the beginning of his ordeal. I caught up with Nick in Portland, where he told me his story.
So we got to the U.S. border and showed them this form, and they said, all right, park over there and come in. And I remember telling my friend, like, well, now we're back in the U.S. These guys are on our side. Starting then, when we first got to the U.S. border, we were there for about 9.5 hours.
What kinds of questions were they asking?
They were asking who we knew, what we were planning on doing, what I'm studying at school, what my views on this and that were. They asked me a lot about the people that I know, and that I wasn't talking about.
In the media and in the legislature, a distinct line is being drawn between protesters, with certain activist tactics and therefore individuals and organizations being classified as terroristic. The war on terror is one way we are asked to check our civil liberties at the border.
They tried to build like a level of trust with me that they weren't actually like gathering intelligence about the activist community, but that they were really just concerned about some really serious things that could happen, like if somebody was going to do a terrorist act or something like that, that they needed this information. And I said, well, I'm sorry, I can't help you with that because I don't know anything about that. But they kind of had that as the pretense for why they were so concerned and what this was about. So they brought up like the ELF and PETA, and they said like, that those people are crazy. Those people are bad. And that's what we're trying to prevent. But they were talking about activism in such a way that all activism was that. And that if my friends were going to protest in Vancouver, for all I knew, they were going to blow up a building. Or if not, then they were going to get blown up by some other crazy protesters, or they were going to get killed by cops who just didn't care and were just going to beat the shit out of people.
Hildes calls the CBP and FBI interrogation of Nick and his traveling companion an abuse of authority in the extreme. He thinks Nick and others have an excellent case against the CBP for false arrest, false imprisonment, and violation of their civil rights.
They are U.S. citizens. Their rights to hold them at the border are extremely limited. And it's very clear they weren't looking for evidence of smuggling. They never got into Canada. Evidence of coming back into the U.S. specifically to engage in illegal activity? No evidence of that. This was a political fishing expedition and a witch hunt, and there is no legal basis for that.
Will Munger from Portland told me a story he thinks demonstrates the true purpose of FBI questioning at the border.
They copied all the contacts out of our cell phones, and at the end, they had our cell phones on a table, and they had a paper with all with photocopies of all our documentation, and they said, okay, whose cell phone is whose? And as we told them, I saw them drawing lines and kind of grids between these people, and for me, that was really symbolic of a larger process that they're doing, which is they're connecting the dots between people, they're mapping networks, they're mapping groups, they're trying to figure out how people are organizing, how they're finding each other, how they're trying to build community. And they're trying to intervene in that as well. They're trying to build fear. And fear is an elementary aspect of political repression. And personally, I was really scared the whole time I was there. It's very scary to be in a small windowless room with an FBI and an ICE agent asking you questions, knowing you are legally required to answer them.
Jude Ortiz from Minneapolis was detained for 1.5 hours by U.S. Customs and Border Protection while returning from a day trip to Canada during the Olympics. He believes the border is turning into a politically charged rights-free zone.
I think that the fact that people are detained and questioned by Border Patrol, by police in like cities and like towns like around the nation, because of their political beliefs or perceived political beliefs, and because people are considered to be criminals and even terrorists because of their political beliefs and associations, is one of the clearest ways of seeing like what the systems of control in our government are actually about. They're not about safety or security or protecting our borders or our sovereignty or anything like that. They're about repressing people and repressing communities and working as hard as possible to ensure that people don't dissent.
Will Munger's border experience has helped frame his understanding of globalization.
It's also really important to recognize kind of larger political and economic patterns in this. You could look to something like the Security and Prosperity Partnership, which was a trilateral agreement created by U.S. corporations and unilaterally passed by Bush, Harper, and Calderon. The president of Mexico, Canada, and United States, which not only is kind of a NAFTA 2.0 and involves more economic integration, but involves security and border integration as well. And that is just a microcosm of the sort of integrated state repression that we could possibly be experiencing. We are experiencing now, could possibly be facing in the future if the border is allowed as a political tool of repression to continue.
Munger sees this kind of border repression as a clear call to action.
We need to deconstruct the border, because if we don't, it's the old idea of, you know, first they came for the Jews, then they came for the communists. Then when they came for me, there was no one left to speak out. You know, first they came for the terrorists, you know, the very obviously bad people that drive planes into buildings. Then they came for the illegal immigrants, and oh, they're illegal, so obviously they're bad. And now they're coming for, you know, white middle class activists. And it's really time for people to see this as connected. And seeing the pattern for what it is and seeing the strategy for what it is going to be able to give us the analysis that we really need to be able to start to mount a campaign to dismantle the border.
Washington State U.S. Customs and Border Protection spokesperson Mike Milne says, "We will take as long as we need to determine whether someone is eligible for entry. With this kind of unchecked authority to collect information on citizens at the border, many are wondering whether the goal of the government is to keep terrorists out or citizens in."